expect this not to come out with a lot of rehearsal, a lot of kailachdikaik. I just feel like I should touch on it, even though the truth of the matter is what I'm going to say is nicht gering zu verstehen. It's not the easiest thing. But I want to share it with you. I was originally planning to give you a shiur on the Seif HaDrush, on page Yud Zayin. But I also felt that I owe you something on Tezvav, Tezayin, and Yud Zayin, where the Rebbe finishes off the Maimer. So I started to look at it. I was thinking about it already a few days. I decided, okay, let me plunge. And let me just preface and say this. As a rule, when you learn a Hemshech, except for the first Maimer is the Dibur HaMaschil of the whole Hemshech. But the Dibur HaMaschil, the Haschos and Siyum of Maimorim are usually like the Lashon that I used for you once. I heard it in the name of the middle of Rebbe. It's a little bit hard for me to believe, but Kach Shamaiti, it's the address. A lot of times the Rebbeim, when they wrote a Hemshech, used to write the whole Hemshech in one chunk. And then every Shabbos they would take out a piece. But you can't just say Azeh HaSkolos. They would add a Pesukim with Kashas at the beginning and Terutzim at the end. And quite often the connections between the Maimed and the beginning and the end were very remote, very Zebikitzadik, and so on. In this Maimed it's very different. The Kashas of Yechayinim and Yemayim are actually, over here was Faket. The Rebbe found in the Maimed Einyin, and he made the Dibur HaMaschil based on the Techen of the Hemshech. The Rebbe spends over two pages, Tezvav Tezayin, at the top of Yud Zayin, explaining the Pasuk Yechayinu. So in this particular case, the Terutzim to the Kashas of Yechayinu are with the Gevaldika Ariches, because they're actually part of Guf HaDrush. So this is unusual, and this happens in Zman L'Zman, where the, you'll see in a later Maimorim, where sometimes he's going to give you Haschos, he's not going to give you answers. The Kashas he asks, the Kashas, the Maimor, Lulav HaRob, and Shmina Tzeres, he doesn't even answer. But in this particular case, there's two pages in the Guf HaDrush, in the Hemshech itself, that are the point of Yechayim. I want to begin today's discussion with the following. And I'm going to tell you Klolim, tell you basic rules. Now, am I going to be able to explain it all? I doubt it. But if you'll remember these Klolim, it'll save you a lot of heartache when you come across these concepts in other places. There's a very famous sugya called the sugya of Ein Arech Lecha, or as it's sometimes called, in this moment it's called Dalet Madreges of Bittl. The four Madreges of Bittl in the Inyan of Ein Arech Lecha. If anybody is interested in a short version of Ein Arech Lecha, there's a maimer from the Rebbe Rashab from Tishrei, Tafereish Nun Beis, and he said the exact same maimer, word for word, in Tafereish Nun Dalet 2 years later, Dai Ein Arech Lecha. It's a short little maimer. It's about 3-4 pages. It's very short. But it's very tantistic, very bekitzadik, and the Friedrich Eber writes that when the Rebbe Rashab said the Ein Arech Lecha, Lubavitch was rocking. Later on, this Ein Arech Lecha became the deep Hemsheichem that they're learning, the Samach Tes, and the Ayin Beis, the Ayin Hei, the Ayin Rav, actually, and the Tzadik Dalet. In the Memorum of Tzadik Dalet from Friedrich Eber, there's a Maimon that begins Ein Arech Lecha, and Ein Zolascha, and Ephes Biltecha, and Midei Malach. There's four Madregas of Bittl, and we say them Shabbos in the morning. Ein Arech Lecha, Ein Zulascha, Efes Biltecha, and Midei Melach. Okay, write down those terms. Ein Arech Lecha is the first Madrege. Ein Zulascha is the second Madrege, huh? Efes Biltecha is the third Madrege. And Midei Melach is the fourth Madrege. In our Maimir, on page Tezvav, the Rebbe says, if you have Tezvav handy, it's a little bit past the midpoint on the page, the line that begins with the word mamish. And this is the maimed in Arech Lecha from Tafereish Nun Beis, and it's exact same maimed, word for word, in Tafereish Nun Dalet, and then you have Bariches in Tzadik Dalet, which is exactly 40 years after Nun Dalet. So again, the four Madregas of Bittl are, number one, in Arech Lecha, right? And the Siddur says, Ein Arech Lecha, Hashem Elokeinu Ve'el Ma'azeh, right? Ve'en Zolascha Malkeinu Lechai El Maba, Efes Biltecha Ve'alein L'meis HaMashiach, Ve'en Deim Elokha Meshiyenu, L'shchias HaMeisam. So Ein Arech Lecha is in El Ma'azeh. Ein Zolascha is in Gan Eden. Efes Biltecha is Yemes HaMashiach. Midei Melechah is Tchias HaMesim. Right? You guys know that there's four worlds. There's Elam Hazeh, there's Gan Eden, there's Yemes HaMashiach, and Elam Haba. And as I pointed out to you, that in the Pasuk Yechayenu Miyemayim, Bayeim HaShlishi, you only have three. So the Yemayim has to include somehow, one way or another, Elam Hazeg HaNeidin and Yemei HaMashiach. But in the Pasuk, it's four Madregis. Elam Hazeg, the highest bit of Elam Hazeg HaNeidin Eich Lecha, HaNeidin is Ein Zulascha, Yemei HaMashiach is Ephes, and Lassad Lavi is Umidei Melach. Four Madregis of Bittl. Here is one of the most interesting Nikudas that you can have in Chassidus. It says in Chassidus that in Oyer Ein Sof, what's closer to the Eibishter than Oyer Ein Sof? Really nothing. Oyer Ein Sof is the closest thing to the Eibishter. In Oyer Ein Sof, there's only three Madregas. Either Ein Reich Lecha, or Ein Zolascha, or Ephes. The Bittl of Ein Dei Melacha does not exist in Oyer Ein Sof. Doesn't exist at all. The Bittl of Midei Melach is Dafke and Gashmis. Or, to tie it into the context of our Maimed, we have Teira and Neshamas Yisrael. Teira is Oyer, so in Teira you have Ein Reich Lecha, Ein Zolascha, and Ephes Biltecha. And Neshamas Yisrael, Guf, Gashmis, Keli, over there Dafke, there's the Bittl of Midei Melach. And just to, you know what, let me do this right now. These four Madregas of Bittl have different names. Okay, if you've written them down, this will be helpful. If you didn't written them down, I'm wasting my time. But written them down, you left yourself space alongside. The Bittl of Ein Reich Lecha is usually the Bittl of Kelim. And sometimes it's the Bittl of Atzilus. And if you needed to use words, you would use the words Me'ein HaMoer. That Atzilus is Me'ein HaMoer. The Bittl of Ein Zulascha is the Bittl of Chochma. And in parenthesis, you would write Kesed. Or a Bittl of Chochma, in parenthesis, you write Dveikus. Or it's the Bittl of Kesed, Chitzenius HaKesed, Arachampin. And in parenthesis, you would write the word Ukam, Alavav Chof Shlosmem. Some of you came across the word Ukam. Ukam was the Madrege of Ein Zolascha. Ephes is the Madrege of Bittl of Lo Yadua. Remember your best friend Radlo? Radlo is Ephes. Timius HaKesed is Ephes. Radlo, Lo Yadua. Chitzenius HaKesed, Arach Ampin, and Chochma, both are Ein Zolascha. But by Chochma, the Ein Zolascha is because of Dveikus, and in Kesed is because of Ukam. By the way, another name for Ukam is Kula Kamek Lachshiv. In the second Madrege, in Ein Zolascha, next to Ukam, you would write, next to Kesed, Ukam, or Kula Kamek Lachshiv. This is all the second Madrege of Bittl. Ukam means black. And when you have a bigger light, and a small light, it's black. And on that second light, if you want to write more, if you have more space, you could also write Bittl, the head of Tfisas Mokim. Bittl of head of Tfisas Mokim. Then he says, now that I'm talking, maybe I'll write it out myself. On the third line, the Bittl of Einzu, of Ephes is Le Yoda, and it's an Adlop. He means Akes. The fourth Madrega of Midei Melach is Goran Andesach. The Bittl of Midei Melach, what word do you use for the Bittl of Midei Melach? In Chassidus, it's called the Bittl of Ein Oid. Ein Oid. Which you don't have an Oid, it only exists in Metzius. And this is the pshat, the Moshnan Ayin Bezes, it's the Gilui of Malchus de Malchus. Malchus de Malchus, and it's also called sometimes Aliyah HaShvius, the seventh Aliyah. I'm going to write this out. I mean, it's good that you write it now, but Blina, that if I have a chance, I'll write it out. If someone will type it, it'd be the best thing. But these are four Madregis of Bittl. And I want to repeat one more time. In Oyer, you only have three. The fourth Madreg of Bittl exists Dafke in Keli and Dafke in Gashmius. So let's now talk about Bittl. And this is where I'm going to get into trouble because I don't have yet sufficient Mishalim to give this a flow that you can see the continuum. So I'm going to be a little bit bumpy, maybe a little more than a little, but this is important stuff. Okay? The Bittl of Ein Reich Lecha, which is sometimes called the Bittl of Kelim of Atzilus, or even Atzilus besides for Chachma, basically is where you know who's giving you your chayas. When you know who's giving you your chayas, you automatically bottle, right? When you know that the Eibish gives you what you have, and you don't know it because you have proof, because you read it in a book. You know it because you can feel it, the Pale Mamish, that when you know where you come from, there's a certain Madrega of Bittl. In Chassidus, it says like this, Oyer comes from the source, yeah? Oyer comes from the source, and Oyer reveals the source. The very fact that Oyer reveals the source is a Bittl. In other words, you're not going to say Oyer is busy being bottled. The Oyer is not going away from itself. The Oyer is not making any sacrifices. The Oyer is not saying, oh Hashem, I love you. The Oyer is shining. The Oyer is being Oyer. The Oyer is being Gilu. You're going to be sleeping in 2 seconds. But the very fact that Oyer reveals the source of the bittul. When you know where you got your breakfast from, even if you're not saying thank you, the etzem ina, you know you got the breakfast from so and so, affects it madrega bit. That's called the bittul of einan echuch. And the Chassidus says that this bittul is possible even in elam hazeh. And the chasham al kenu elam hazeh. It's the bittul of atzilus. Angel loscha is already a higher bittul. Angel loscha doesn't only mean I came from there. Angel loscha means I came from there, and I want to become attached to there. I want to lose myself in my source. So the lowest madrega of bittul is not even a proactive bittul. I'm not even doing anything to be bittul. I'm existing. But because I exist in a way that I'm karev, I'm close to my source, I know my source, the very fact that I know my source means that there's a certain, I can't help but be bittul in my metzius. I'm not making any sacrifices. But the very fact that I know where I come from is a bittul. The second madrega of angel loscha means I know where I come from and I want to go back to my source. And this madrega has two forms, chachma and kesef, chitanias akesef. In chachma we call it dveikus, and in chitanias akesef we call it ukam or kulakam eklachshir. Agav, and this is an important agav, there's a very famous ha'ar in Tanya Perek Lamed Hei, where the Altareva brings down kasha, shamayti mi moiri, and he says, hu levade hu ve'ein zulose, ve'zuhi madregis ha'chachma. This is a very famous Lashon Chassidus. Hu levade hu, he is the only one that exists. The angel lase zui madrega zechachma. Notice angel lase, it's the same word as angel lase. This is the second madrega. What's the difference between chachma and keser? Chachma is seichel, and seichel is gilui. But the whole idea of chachma is that it's higher than my kelim. The whole idea, the light of chachma, that is bigger than me. And when a person experiences chachma, they're so to speak wowed. They're overwhelmed. There's a higher ayir which is lifting them up. It's al derech mashal. Yeah, let's use this mashal. You come to a class and the teacher teaches. If the teacher, mamish, comes down to your level, and you understand well, but you don't have to lose yourself, that would be inarech l'chol, the first madrega. But if you come to class, and the teacher teaches a little bit above your head, or maybe even a little bit more than a little bit above your head, so he's forcing you to go away from yourself and to get lost in his world. Like I explained it to you in a previous year, where you don't fully understand every single word, you can't grasp it. But you feel the light, you feel the beauty of a teacher saying, and you get lost in it. You become lifted up, enchanted by it. That's madrega of angelos. That's how it is in chokhmah. Kesed is also the madrega of angelos. Chitani is a kesed, but it's different. What's the difference between angelos of chokhmah and kesed? The angelos of chokhmah is you feel the higher light and you're lifted up into it. The bittul of kesed is called ukam, black. What does that mean, black? If you're in a room, in a place, and there's something happening which absolutely blows you away. You don't understand it, you don't feel it, you're not being lifted up into it. You're destroyed by it. That's called ukam. Or the other expression that I told you before, bittul the head that feeds a smokum, shraga betihara, a candle in the sunlight. It's a candle, it produces no light, it's bittul lagabi the sun completely. Kesed is al derech mashal, a student comes into our classroom and the teacher speaks over his head, but instead of the student becoming lifted up and drawn in a way called dveikus, in what the teacher says, which is the angel loscha of chachma, the student becomes blasted, he just loses it. He becomes setumel completely. That's ukam. Ukam means you're black. You're full of light. Compared to a higher light, you're black. When you stand in the presence of kesed, if you find the presence of it in Saf, Ukam, Ukam, you lose your materials completely. So Angel Loscha has two tiyurim, has two forms. The essence of Angel Loscha means a higher light shines into you. In Chachma, what Angel Loscha does is it lifts you up, you become, so to speak, dovuk in the higher light. In Kesed, what it does is it blows you away. It's called Ukam. So if you think about it, which is a better Angel Loscha? The Angel Loscha of Chachma, the Angel Loscha of Kesed. Oh, he said exactly what has to be said. The higher type would be kesed, ukum, and you get lost completely. This is called kulak make lachshiv. When the eight inch shines, your ice mitzvahs. Kesed is higher, but better is chachma, because kesed means you have lost your ice mitzvahs. Chachma means you cleave, you become one with the eight. Does anybody have any questions that are relevant? Simple questions in what I said so far. I'm admitting that this is not aleph base. This is already gimel dalet. Love. I'm waking you because I think you want me to wake you. Does anybody have any questions or comments about what I said so far? In erech lachatz kelim. Well, sometimes it's atzilus besides for chokhmah. Because kelim of atzilus are alakus. Kelim of b'yar yesh. Kelim of atzilus know Hashem on some level. I don't have time to give you the ariches of it, but the kelim of atzilus are, for example, hot coals. If the oir of atzilus is like flames, and when you put, like I explained to them last year about Ichas, you put two flames together, you have one flame. Put three games together, you have three flames. But if you put three coals together, you still have three coals. That's the moshel for Kelim of Atzilus. That even though they're metius and they're separate, a coal is not considered a burning rock. A coal is considered a piece of fire. It's metius is esh, apitera. Api aloch, it's true, but it's certainly true, api chasidus. And that's why it's madrega ven erech lecha. But like I said to you, sometimes the erech lecha doesn't go on Kelim, it goes on the Eidus of Atzilus, but besides for chochm.
Kesa,
you lost. You're not a keli for it. It just.
So
it makes
you. How do you understand?
Perhaps no. You, if you don't feel it, you're not in kesa. You feel it. It blows you away, but you cannot bring it into yourself. So it basically, you lose your material.
So
you could use it, and this, by the way, is also our best friend Tayu. And it makes stands to reason that Tayu would affect things in this kind of a way. It's not a pneumistic kesha. Now, let me use Oisius. In the first bit, let's go back to Ein Erech Lecha for a moment. In the bit of Ein Erech Lecha, the metzias, that's bottle, retains what it's still what it was. In the middle of Ein Erech Lecha, you are still you. You have your mohus, and you have your metzias. You're still you. Now, but then, you know you come from something higher, and you're still a little bit above. In the bit of Ein Zolascha, the Lashne Chassidus is, you lose your metzias. It's like losing your goof, but you're holding on to your neshama. What my metzias is, I'm me. Ein Zolascha means, I'm not me anymore, I'm something higher. So your metzias is lost. But you retain your mahus. Sign the bit of Ein Zolascha, of Chacham, where you become uplifted. It's not the fact you're not the metzias anymore. You're still a metzias, you lift it up to the Madrigas Arab. And sign the bitl of Ukum, of Kesed, where because of the higher gila, you're blown away, so you lost your metzias. You're no longer functional. But you're not one with your Rav, Faket. In Kesed, you're not one with your Rav at all. Because if you become one with your Rav, you wouldn't be blown away, you'd be uplifted. So the Madrega of Angel Loscha is you lose your metzias and you retain your Muhus. And the third Madrega is Efes Beltech. Efes Beltech of Pnimiyas HaKesed. And specifically, it's Radlo, Rishad Los Yad. You guys will learn next year in Samach Tes, if Rabbi Jacob teaches it again, that you have, it's called Radlo, it's Rishad Lo Yod of Los Yad. Nobody knows what it is, and it doesn't even know itself. The Losh Din Chassidus is, the Bittl of Radlo is not only do you lose your Metzias, you lose your Mahus. If you wanted to use Dafka Oisis, it's like a Talmud who's listening to a Rav, and he's so bottled his Rav, that he knows what his Rav is going to say, really. That he's so one with his Rav, not that he's lost in the Seichel Rav, or he's lifted up in Seichel Rav. He's so one with Seichel Rav, he can tell you what the Rav is going to say. Meditel, I saw it in Polakhan's Rishimis, the Yale's father, that in Lubavitch, the Seder was, the Rebbe Rashad, the Seder was like this, they set up a square of tables, and everybody stood around, and they pressed against the tables of the Shvelta here, and there was one seat for the Rebbe Rashad, and opposite the Rebbe Rashab, the Friedrich Rebbe stood directly opposite him. And apparently there were different tkufas. When he was younger, the Friedrich Rebbe used to push. The Friedrich Rebbe says that he used to push by Chassidus. But by Swiss later, he stood inside the tables. And the Friedrich Rebbe would come before, and then the Rebbe Rashab would come. And they say there was, that before the Rebbe would come, they would sing the Gunim. And when they would see the Rebbe coming from his house, which was about 20 steps away, it was in the Chatzet, it would get very quiet. The Rebbe would come into the Beis Medrash. He would go into the other room, put his coat down. And Sheitzach Rebbe was Zaydin, a silk, he always wore a coat. In the street, you don't go with Zaydins without a coat. I'll pick up all of them. Even Shabbos. Always. You don't wear Zayd without a mantle. Then he would walk into the Zal, and he would sit down on the chair. They would open up the table, he would sit down. And he had the most gewaldig tzias. The Rebbe Rashab would take a kerchief and wrap it around his fingers. The Rebbe did it under the table so we shouldn't see. But the other Rebbe, you could see, you see how they'd wrap the kerchief between their fingers. The Friedrich Rebbe also would take out a kerchief and wrap it between their fingers. The room was quiet, and they would stare at each other. So Follah Khan writes that it happened once that they stared at each other for half an hour. No one said a word. What went on that half an hour is impossible to fathom. And the Rebbe here. And when the Rebbe Rashab, this wasn't common, usually it was a few minutes or a few seconds, but it happened once, half an hour. Then the Rebbe Rashab would say to Chassidus, and he would talk directly to the Friedrich and Rebbe. In other words, there was a room full of people, but the Rebbe talked to the Rebbe, some Friedrich and Rebbe. Sometimes, in the middle of a maimed, the Friedrich and Rebbe would start talking along with his father. And he would talk loud, and with that koch, he was mavalbel. And he was saying, with concurrently, he was saying the words not after his father, with his father. There was a dveikus, a zamin dveikus, that he was saying his father's words. Not he was repeating after his father, he was saying it with him. And the Bochim used to sort of let him know that they can't hear because they call Allah Mishtamer. We can't listen to it. I'm using this as an illustration. The Bittel, the third Madrega of Bittel, is really a whole different story. It's not the Pshat, I know where I come from. It's not the Pshat that I lose my Metzias because something is higher than me. It's the Pshat, I'm one with my Rav. I'm so much one with my Rav. I'm so much one with my Rav that I say what my Rav is saying. This is called Layada. You lose yourself completely. And the Lashon Chassidus again is not only you lose your Metzias, you lose your Mahus also. In the Bittel of Ein Zo Lascha, which is either the Dveikus of Chachma or Ukum of Keser, you lose your Metzias, but you're still separate. Baharaya, you're overwhelmed or you're obliterated. Masha'enke, in the Bittel of Layada, there's such a Dveikus, you're one with the Eibishter. And Radlo, this is Timis Akeser, where you're mamish one with the Eibishter. These three madregas that I just articulated, in Rech Lecha, in Zoloscha, in Nefes Botecha, are beklolos Mamalik Kalamim, and Sebev Kalamim, and Eidim Sof, which is higher than Sebev Kalamim. Mamalik Kalamim means the oil that fits into your keli. Sebev Kalamim means the oil that's higher than your keli, but it has a shachas to gilui. And the madrega of itself, which is higher than keli, is even higher than that. I don't have time to give you a marshal for all three, but I want to give you a marshal for the third. For the third madrega, the madrega of Ephes, the madrega of Layada, Layadua. This third madrega of Ephes is called in Chassidus Helem Be'etzem. Yeah, you have what's called Gilui, Mamala Kalman is Gilui. You have what's called Helem, Save of Kalman. And there's something called Helem Be'etzem. What's such Gilui? Gilui means it's a light. It's shining, and you can see it. What's such Helem? There's a light that's shining. You can't see it. Why can't you see it? You don't have strong enough eyes. It's there. You won't see it. What's Helem Be'etzem? There's a light. It's shining. You can see it, but you don't notice it. Why don't you notice it? If you can see it, why don't you notice it? Because it's sneistic. It's not hiding. There's absolutely nothing covering you from seeing this third madrega, etzemeir itself, as it's called, higher than Sevek Olam. But you fail to notice it because it's just modest. What is the dugma for this third madrega? The dugma for this third madrega is what's called in Chassidus Chochmas Adam Toyer Ponim. In Teir it's written that on a person's face you can see everything about that person. When you look at a tzaddik, on the face of a tzaddik you have everything. Is a tzaddik walking around with a mask? Moshe Rabbeinu walked around with a mask, yeah? But tzaddikim don't walk around with masks. You could look at their face, and on their face you could see their whole etzem. Is it being hidden? No. Do you see it? Why not? Because it's a deep inyan, and because of its depth, you fail to notice. Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Now, let me give you a couple of illustrations of this third madrega of Lo Yada. What it means, that something is totally revealed and you fail to notice it because it's so sneistic. It's a gavaldik at head. And I've told this to you last year. For those of you who last year I told it to you. There's an article that Adin Steinsaltz wrote, maybe 25 years or 30 years. It was printed in the Harebi. The Harebi came out in Tovshin Mem, the first five of Harebi. It's a very gavaldik article. Adin Steinsaltz is a genius. Adin Steinsaltz, in his way, is a chosid. But Adin Steinsaltz is also a very deep person. Sometimes you have these geniuses that they're not normal. Adin Steinsaltz is a person with headaches. He's a human being. So he has an article on the Rebbe, which is so compelling. It's so deep yet human. He writes like this. He says, People say that the Rebbe is a nistin. He's hiding himself. He doesn't want us to see his greatness and how much he does and the mitzvah and so on and so forth. He says, "Vania kot neim alav davka." I say the Rebbe is not hiding anything. The Rebbe is concealing nothing. No, then. The Rebbe is the epitome of a pnimi. Whenever he does something, he does it just for himself. There is not one fraction of him that has any interest in being noticed when he's doing mitzvahs. You see, he's standing davening, you're off in your room over there by yourself. 6, 7 hours, just maybe one goat will poke his head in and see you davening. But he does it just for himself. So Steintops writes this, his is his opposition. When you do something just for yourself, nobody sees. You don't have to hide. It just goes unnoticed. When you do something, and the expression in English is with airs. Airs means people should see. It's take a smoke of it. There could be a lot of airs, it could be a little airs. But if you do something without any airs at all, there's no aspect in you that's chitzeniyazdik. You can do it right in front of people, and people don't see. Not they don't see because you're hiding, they don't see because they don't notice. That's al derech mashal, helem be'etzem. Helem be'etzem means it's not hidden because it's hidden. It's hidden because you fail to notice. Mamale kalamun is gilui. Seyu kalamun is also gilui, but lagabi yas it's helem because you don't have the receptors. Etzemei insof is gilui to us. It's higher than helem. It's higher than get the helem of gilui, the lashon. But we don't notice because it's atmos. Atmos. In other words, ayin insof reveals the eibishter. Atmos is the eibishter. There's a madrega in Ein Sof called Etzem of Ein Sof. Etzem of Ein Sof is not revealing the Rebishter, it is the Rebishter. In as much as you can say in Ein Mo Rebishter. So let's quickly review. I know that this is like a ton of information, but why not? Number one, the bitl of Ein Arech Lecha means you are a Metzias, you're retaining Sayyim Mahus and Sayyim Metzias. You know where you came from, Sayyim Bon. Number two, Ein Zolascha means you not only know where you came from, you're included in your source, and therefore you give up your metzias, but you retain your separateness. Your mahus is still separate mahus. And there's two forms for the bitl of ein zolascha, in chochma dvekus, and in keser it's ukam. Keser means chitzenius, I guess. La yadam, not only you lose your metzias, you lose your mahus, and if you wanted to use oisis, it's al derech mashal, your soul bottle to your rav, you know what your rav is thinking. So tzeh chesidus, those are three madregas in oisis. Higher than this, there isn't an oisis. You cannot be mevatel oir more to the Eibishter than the bitl of layada. Why? Because an oir is bottle in the madreg of layada, it's moir. It's moir. It's included in the moir. But it says in Chassidus, now here it gets complicated. It says in Chassidus that moir is not atzmus. When you always talk in Chassidus, the Eibishter is called the moir, a source for light. And from the moir comes oir, himself, the infinite Eibishter. We always assume that Moed is Atmos. It's not true. Moed is Atmos of Oir. The Eibishter himself that's higher than Moed is called the Atmos of Hus. Maybe he doesn't even have a name. He's called Yeshu Amiti, the true ego. So it says in Chassidus it is a fourth Madrega of Bittl. But this fourth Madrega of Bittl cannot exist in Oir. Why? Because the Sheirish of Oir is Moed. Higher than Layada and Moed doesn't exist. Gashmi's Sheirish is where? Gashmi's Sheirish is not in Oir. Gashmi's Sheirish is not in Moir. Gashmi's Sheirish is in Moir, in Atzmos, in Yeshua Amiti. So that the fourth Madrega of Bittl, which is called Ein Oid, or Midei Malach. What's the Bittl of Ein Oid? You're a Gashmi. You have hands, and you have feet, and you have a head, and you have hair, and a yarmulke on top. You're a Metzias, and you are a piece of Eibishter. You're not revealing the Eibishter. You're not bottled to the Eibishter. You're a piece of the Eibishter. Gashmius is Atmos. If I needed to find Oisius, and obviously I have to find Oisius, although you're not going to have any ability to understand what I'm saying, the only Oisius I could find is what says in Chassidus. That Liosid Love says in Reb Marash, HaNeshoma Nizoynis Min Aguf, the soul is going to draw life from the body. Right now the body is of death. What prevents the body from dying in a minute and lets it live for whatever number of years it lives is the Nefesh and the Neshoma. Lost it, love it, the neshama is going to get chayes from the goof. Why? Right, why? Because what is the neshama? The neshama is oir. What do you know about oir? Oir has to be attached to the source. Yeah? You cut off oir from the source, what happens? It dies. The guf is a piece of death. The neshama comes from the Eibishter into the guf and it gives it life. The neshama has to do two things. Ratzu v'shuv has to go back to the Eibishter to remain alive. Has to go into the guf to give the guf life. The neshama leaves the guf. The guf is no longer cared for. The neshama, the guf dies. The neshama goes back to its source. La'asad lavei, that means in Tchias HaMesim, the guf is going to be a piece of Atzmus. So when the neshama has to renew itself, where does it have to go? No place. The guf is the source. Right now, the guf is hell. The guf is death. So the neshama has to live by going back to the Eibishter. Has to go into the guf to make the guf alive. La'asad lavei, the guf is going to be getlachkeit. The goof is going to be get lachet and a level of atzma. So the neshama is going to get life from the goof itself, just like it gets life from the Eibishter. The goof is going to be a piece of the Eibishter.
So how
should it be? A minute. In Chanami, it says, "Alzad lovi, elam haba, ein be, le'achila, v'le'shtia, v'le'shina, v'le'tio, v'le'shaik, elah, tzadikim yeshrim, but the same, but the shame, and then the mezid v'shkina." You're right, there's going to be, elam atchia has nothing in common. There won't be any birth, there won't be any death, there won't be any marriage, there won't be any age, there won't be nothing. It'll be gashmias. But how gashmis is atmos? What's the difference between ein oid and ephes? What's the difference between the third madrega and the fourth madrega? Ephes b'techa means you don't exist at all. Oid mitzias. You were once a thing. So in the bit levein zulascha, you lose your mitzias. In the bit levein oid, you lose your mahus. What's ein oid? You're still a mitzias, but your mitzias is eibisht. Not you lose, you become a different thing. You remain a guf gashmi, and your gashmi is atzmus. In Chassidus it says that madrega cannot exist in oyer. It's impossible. If you understand the characteristics of oyer, you know that when oyer becomes bottle, it's not oyer anymore. Only a dover gashmi could remain a yesh, but its yesh, the lashon that's brought in Chassidus, the name of the Reb Marash, is that the yesh hanivra should become one with the yesh hamiti. So those are four, for those who stayed awake from start to finish, those are four madregas and bitl. The bitl of ein arech lecha is you're a metzias, but you know your source, that's already a bitl. The bitl of ein zulascha is you're included in your source. When you're included in your source, what happens? You lose your metzias, but you hold on to your mahus, and either you become uplifted or you become obliterated. Chachma is uplifted, ukam is obliterated. Leyoda, the bitl of ephes, you lose not only your mitzvah, you lose your mahus, you become your Rav. And Einoid, Madrega Bidei Malach, Madrega of Lost Love, Chesa Meisim is, you remain a Guf Gashmi, but your Gashmi is Ka'atzim's mahus. In our Maimer, Yechayenu, so there's only three things. There's not four, there's only three. There's Yechayenu Miyamayim. But the Yamayim have to include three Madregas Behechach. Because we know that there's four madregas of bittul, and the pasuk Yechayenu only accounts for three. So the first two have to include three. They have to include in Erech Lecha, they have to include in Zolascha, and they have to include Efes Bultecha. In other words, in the Yemayim, in two madregas, there's Bamali, Kolalman, Seviv Kolalman, and Asmo Suchasayim Seviv Kolalman. And you can splice it two ways. You say 2 days. Yeah, the first day can be Bamali Kolalman, so the second day would become Seviv Kolalman and Haiv and Seviv Kolalman, or the first day would be Malach Kalaman and Sevik Kalaman. Sevik Kalaman, by the way, is Gan Eden. And the second day would be Meis HaMashiach, when there's the Bittul of Ephes. You are still separate from the Eibishter. Your Neshama is one with him. Chias HaMesim, your Guf is a Shtik Eibishter. And the Rebbe says, it's the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That's why Yom Kippur you don't have to eat. Right? Well, that's why in Chias HaMesim you're not going to have to eat. Now, Alpi Nigla, why don't you eat Yom Kippur? You're punishing yourself. Chamisha Inuyim. Alpi Pnimiyas Hanyanim, why don't you eat Yom Kippur? What do you need food for? You need food because if you don't keep the neshama coming back into the guf is going to die. Yeah? If you don't keep the neshama coming back into the guf is going to die. The neshama is going to go away. Mezvar Mamurim, if the guf is dead. But in Yom Kippur, there's the Gilu of Bidei Melecha, of Tchias HaMesim. With the guf as a piece of atzmus, it needs a neshama v'chlam. It's alive v'yetzim. It's mitzias as getlachai. So the not eating Yom Kippur is called v'hachayesam barav. This is the lashon of Chalamot. You're sustained through fasting. Why? You don't need anything outside of yourself. Your metzias is get lachem. Because we're not kalim for that gili. The madreg of Yom Kippur is this madreg. Yeah? The Rebbe is not hungry Yom Kippur. He's never hungry, but especially Yom Kippur. I'm answering you. Because it's not b'ez galas. Beruch nitzan yon, this is the truth. You have to be a kalim for it. But this is the madreg of the Vedi Yom Kippur. And by the way, this is also the madreg of Shalosh Shudas. And that's why... Wait a minute. That's why Shalosh Shudas we es... Durch nicht essen, der lei, der hayem... Hayem lei, the three, the good sikhs khale kon base. Or gefallen. The nicht essen von Shalosh Shudas is because it's bedug mas madreges in Kippur. It's not that you're not eating. You're higher than food. Es ist gegessen von sich allein. How come you have to hold by it? Because there's klippas in the world. How can I answer that question? I mean, this is the Matthias. Like the Rebbe told somebody once. A Shabbos Aliyah Sa'ilimus, yeah? That klippas also, food is also, klippas naked becomes holy. We're not matish. It doesn't change the fact. The fact is that in Shabbos it was an Aliyah, and Yom Kippur has even a higher Aliyah. But you have to... Oh, it certainly affects us. But we cannot say that in Yom Kippur we're not hungry. It certainly affects us. But the effect is more helimdik. We don't margish it mamish. And the thing is, you don't feel like your goof doesn't need an neshama in Yom Kippur. You know, there's a story which is a mind-boggling story. I read it in a kid's book. Because I wanted to read the story and I knew I didn't read it in an adult book. Yaakov Yisroel Kasher. Yaakov Yisroel Kasher was the Mittler Rebbe's son-in-law. And he had children who died when they were very young. And they left over an einikel. And this einikel was a very famous Rebbe in Poland before the war. He was an einikel for Chabad, but he was a Polish. There's pictures of him. He was raised by his grandparents. Either by Yaakov Yisroel Kasher, some Yaakov Yisroel Kasher's wife. And Agav, there's another story once where they had a big argument who should die first. Him or her. She said her whole life is him, she can't live a moment without him, he has to die. She has to die first. And he said, no, he can't live a moment without her, he doesn't have a life, she has to die first. So they came to the Einikel, who was a little boy, he should paskin, who should die first. So he paskin, they should both die at the same time. And they died within mamish months of each other, weeks of each other. But, I forgot. But one of us said, mamish and amirin dikamaisa. Somebody came to the house, it was a very cold winter, and a guy comes running to the house of Yaakov Yisroel Kasher, then his wife was a maksha leila, she was almost dead. She was looking for Yaakov Yisroel for the Rebbe, he wasn't home. The Einikel, who was last from Mordechai Deibetek Gehesen, was 11. He was an 11-year-old boy, but he was raised a tzadki mishpacha, royal blood, a tzadik, ben tzadik, ben benesho tzadik, and so on. And the guy comes into the house, he's looking back, the guy was hysterical, he's out of control completely. So when he sees that the Zayda is not here, he turns to the Einikel and says, you have to help me. So the Einikel, I'm 11, I don't know these tricks yet. And he says, no, you have to help me. Well, Tzukishtan, he says, okay. It was like 4 or 5 feet of snow. It was unbelievable snowstorms, a blizzard. He was a little kid. It was at night, it was 8, 9 o'clock at night. He says, come with me. He took a lantern, and he took this man, or the shamish, and they went to the mikveh. The mikveh was down by the river, and the stomach was freezing cold also. This 11-year-old climbed into the water, and he went beneath the water, and he stayed there for 4 hours. Didn't breathe once. You get them, can any inch come out? I didn't have a straw, you know, he didn't have Houdini's tricks. Taste, and he pops out of the water, says, your life will be okay. What he did under the water, I don't know. This guy, his goof was alive. He didn't need any shaman. The goof had developed. A person goes without oxygen for 2 minutes, he's mentally retarded. Without 3 minutes, he's finished. 4 hours, he didn't take a breath. Now, it doesn't help me and you, but it illustrates the mukshirs of it. You know a person that it happened to, a pale mamish. Don't try this at home or any place. Yeah. Anyway, so we had a shiur on the four madreges. In Zulascha, Efes Batecha, Midei Melach. And in the context of our Maimir, the first three, in Echlecha, in Zulascha, and Efes, would be included in the Yechayenu Miyemayim. And the Midei Melach would be the Mayim HaShlish, Yechemen, Echlecha, the third day, I'm sorry for using these words because I don't mean them. On the third day, we say to the Eibishter, I don't need you. I said, I don't need you. I am you. The first 2 days, Yechayenu Imayim, I'm dead. Make me alive. Yehim Ashish, Yechimenu, Vinichilafanav, we are Shtikalakus.